Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I mean, yeah. So he basically just shows us the formula of winning. So takeaways, explosive plays and stuff like that, third down conversion and stuff like that. So I think that those are the areas, you know, eventually to where you win games, winning the fourth quarter and finishing. So as long as we focus on those aspects, those situations, you know, we're more likely to win a game than lose a game. And, you know, everybody's bought in the past 3 to 4 weeks, and, you know, we're all coming together as a team. So I expect nothing but us to, you know, keep coming together, keep getting better, and, you know, just keep working.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
That was Justin Fields talking about the Chicago Bears, and they've won three out of their last four. Could have been four. That Lions game, they had it in the bag earlier. But three out of four isn't bad for where the Bears were last year and where they're at right now. Surpassing last year's win total. Looking to add on to it. Four more games left in the season after defeating Detroit 28-13. They got Cleveland, Arizona, Atlanta, and Green Bay. And Cleveland's in the playoff hunt. Atlanta still trying to, you know, compete for that NFC South. And then Green Bay, that might be a big game for Green Bay. That's why the time is to be determined for that one. Could be flexed. You never know. What if Green Bay, they got a cake schedule coming up, though, just to be clear. They got to face, they got like Carolina on their schedule. They got the Giants still. I think they got Tampa Bay. And then they got the Bears. So, you know, but what if they got eight wins and we got eight and the Bears got eight wins and then that last game of the season to see who gets that last playoff spot? Ooh, that'll be so sexy.
Well, and what if the pressure gets to Jordan Love and he starts performing like he did earlier in the season? Maybe. Whole different ball game once you start, you know, lowering the expectations again.
Yeah, maybe that is the case. Maybe that is the case, and we shall see. But what are your thoughts? 312-644-6767. Bears defeat the Detroit Lions, but still a lot to talk about. Still a lot of uncertainty surrounding this team.
Gabe, I got one more question for you.
Before we go to the calls.
Yeah. You know, there was a lot to be proud of, obviously, with the win, but what was like the biggest thing for you watching the game where, like, great, they won by two scores against the NFC North leading Lions, but what left you feeling a little more hungry that they need to improve on for next week and for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, Bears come out strong every week. This we know, right? First drives always look good. And then it's the adjustments, right? It's the third and two and not calling a power run up the middle with your quarterback. It's fourth and one and not calling a fake tush push sweep to the outside. Corey told me, again, listen, I can have my thoughts, but that's why I like hanging out with football players, because I can really ask them, like, Corey, what's up right there? He's like, Gabe, it's like a terrible call. I'm like, why? Why is it a terrible call, Corey? He goes, because everyone knows on fourth and two in a situation like that, you're supposed to stay and, like, be disciplined in your gaps because you never know what they're going to do. So, like, people are ready for something like that is what he's saying. And when you got Deontay Foreman, when you got Roshan Johnson, these are heavy hitters. Third best running game in the league. Ravens, Niners, Bears. You do it well. You can say you do that better than you throw the ball. So why not just run the ball? So situations like that. And then it's the adjustments during the game. So what I feel like they can improve on, I thought they did a good job of not trying not to lose the game in the fourth quarter, even though I thought they would. It still took shots. But yeah, it's the consistency of the game flow. If you're putting up points and they're making adjustments, fine, let's come back and let's put some more points on the board. And I think the Bears did that in the second half, and the defense just played exceptionally well. Like, you can't take it. like holding the Lions to 0 points in the second half. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
And like you said, the momentum completely shifted after the quarterback power and then the toss to Moore. I'm like, oh, great. Here we go. It's going to get away from them. And man, defense did a great job holding
them.
We all thought
the Bears were going to Bears is what we actually thought happened. And then in the third quarter, you know, you get them on a three and out. Then the Bears get the ball, go on a 12-play, 65-yard drive to get a field goal, tie it up.
Lions had no first downs in the third quarter.
That's what I'm saying. Then another three and out. Then another three and out. So the defense did its job, and I think you feel good about that. And you know the Bears are going to, you know, try to get that time of possession thing going, long drives, dinking and dunking. You know, again, though, the question you have to ask yourself, again, a lot of questions after this game. Feels good to get the victory. Feels good to beat Detroit Lions. But is that going to make you, you know, playoff worthy for the next 10 years where teams are fearful of you? We'll see. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Snooky out in Bloomington. Snooky, what's your question?
What's up, Gabe?
What up?
I love the show. Thank you for taking my call. I got a couple things for
always.
You. All right. The thing that bothers me is everybody's wanting to keep Eberflus. Now, him as a head coach, he has two coaches fired during the season. Now, he's been a great defensive coordinator. So what is he going to be next year? Is he going to continue to call the defense, or he's going to pass it on to someone else? Because if he's going to pass it on to someone else, he's going to be the same head coach as he was before.
Fair. All right.
And the thing with Fields, it doesn't matter what he's going to do. He's out. Now, if you're going to get rid of Fields, because you can draft a quarterback and start the clock over, I understand that. But Caleb Williams and Fields are the exact same quarterback. You know, they're going to try to make, the extra move, the extra play, drag it out longer.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes they're going to fumble the ball. And, you know, that ain't what you want. But you got guys like Josh Allen. He's the same type of quarterback, and he's leading the league in turnovers. His record is 7-6 this year. And then you got Herbert, who's 5-8, 9-7, 9-7. But he just got a $250 million contract, and everybody thinks he's the greatest in the world. So if the reason you're going to get rid of Fields is to start the play clock over, the contract over, I understand that. But just to get rid of him and to bash him, it doesn't make any sense. But Eberflus and Getsky, they got to go.
All right.
You're going to draft a new quarterback, you got to change the whole system.
I hear you. Thanks for the call, Snook. You make some real great points, and I want to be able to address them each individually. So, you know, first I want to say, you know, there's the keeping Eberflus thing. It's a great question, right? Like, what's going to happen next year? What's going to happen next year when, like, who are you going to give the play calling to on the defense? Who are you going to entrust with that responsibility? It's a great one. What's going to happen? I don't know. Are you going to call the defense? Yeah, coach is calling offense. Maybe he's like, yeah, you know what? I am going to call the defense. That's a great question. I mean, it'd be interesting to see. I wonder what upper management thinks about that, right? Like, sometimes your manager will be like, yeah, okay, I see you doing both jobs, and that's okay. But I really think that maybe you could perform better if you had some of that taken off of your plate. Let's bring in a defensive coordinator. It's a great one. He is a great defensive coordinator. That we cannot take away from him. That's why he got the interview in the first place. He had the Indianapolis Colts defense plan at a very high level. Something else you said, Snooky. Can't believe you got me out here calling you that. But I will. And you said that Caleb Williams is the same QB as Justin Fields. Well, think about that. Let's say he is. Like the exact same. And you still have some hope in Justin, right? That there's a little bit left. He hasn't plateaued yet. And if the same can be said for a rookie QB like Caleb Williams or Drake May, whoever, fill in the blank, right? Fill in the blank, whoever that is. And if they're the same as Justin Fields, well, wouldn't you want that then? Because then you'd be getting Justin Fields for another 4 years at a cheap contract. Because then you can take that money and build around him for a longer period of time. Because isn't that what we're saying, right? Like, if you are a Justin truther and you're saying, You need to build around Justin. Give him more weapons. Do more of this. Do more of that. And if you're telling me that the quarterback that they can draft is going to be exactly the same, well, then, yeah, I want a cheaper contract for a productivity that is exactly the same and then use that extra money to then build and give him more talent around him if it's going to be the same. You mentioned the Bills record as well, Snicky. And I was talking about this a second ago. And I was saying, you know, remember in the NFL, like if you finish in first, then you play like all the first place teams. And so when you're looking at the Bills and who they've played, man, they've had a tough schedule this year. They've played Miami. They've played Cincinnati. They've played, you know, Philly, Kansas City. It's a tough, tough schedule. They lost the first game of the year to the Jets, which they shouldn't have. Remember when Aaron Rodgers goes down, like they shouldn't have lost that game. Then they win three straight after that, including against Miami. They lose to Jacksonville. Tough. They beat the Giants. Patriots have three wins all year, one of them against the Buffalo Bills. Tough. So they've lost to the Jets and to the New England Patriots. That sucks.
They play to whatever level their opponent is at.
Yeah, clearly. They only beat Tampa by six. They lost to Cincy by six and then lost to Denver by two. We all remember that game. They get the revenge on the Jets by beating them 32-6, lose to Philly last week, and then beat Kansas City. I mean, that's a tough schedule. And then your last point that you brought up was, Justin Herbert. But, man, and I get it, not necessarily playing his best football after he just got hurt. His index finger is hurt on that one. But you mentioned, like, the money that they gave him. Let me just rattle off his first, not including this year because he got hurt, his first 3 years, 4,300 yards, 5,000 yards, 4,700 yards. I mean, damn, if you're not going to give him the money, who are you going to give the money to? Like, if that's not... If he's like, if somebody comes out and throws for 4,300, 5,000, 4,700, and you're like, yeah, nah, we're not paying you. I'd be like, what? You better give me my damn money. So, good point, Snook. See how I shortened it up? Good points. But it is going to be interesting. I think that's the best part about this telenovela that exists, this soap opera that exists for the Chicago Bears. They're in such a unique situation. Let's go back out to the phone lines, though. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and itsnotagameillinois.com. Let's go to Will out in Des Plaines. Will, good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, Gabe. I'm actually a first-time caller. Good to talk to you.
Oh, a different Will in Des Plaines. I like this.
Yeah. And please forgive me if I'm going to repeat anything that someone else has said by Justin. I actually just turned the radio off. I see what I believe everybody else sees about Justin. I see the things he needs to work on. Accuracy, getting rid of the ball, making better decisions, pinpointing his receivers. But my feeling is this. We should keep him because I think with the character that he has and with the athlete that he is, I feel like he'll work on those. Maybe it's taking longer than expected. Maybe we feel like he should have cleaned up these errors or these deficiencies already. But I see enough in this young man that I think over time, he will work on these. And I feel like he has too many intangibles that we've never seen before in Chicago. That, to me, it's hard to give him up, especially for an unproven talent on the NFL level.
Okay, so what do you do? Give me, because I'm Will, if this is your first time calling, then yeah, I would like you to know that I am about solutions and not problems, right?
Trust me, I used to listen to you on B96. Oh, okay. So I watch you on TV. So trust me, man, I know your MO.
All right, so talk to me then about the draft, right? Like you sitting there with that number one pick with Carolina. You like Justin Fields. What are you doing? Like, what do you want to have happen there?
One or two positions, offensive line or another receiver.
With the first pick. Okay.
Now, I'm not an expert. Once again,
I want to know your wants and needs. I want your deepest desires.
Those are my wants. I either want someone else on that offensive line to protect his blind side, or I want another receiver.
Okay. Fair enough, Will. At what point were you fully sold on Justin Fields as the quarterback? Like, has it been this way since the beginning, and you just been riding with him, or something happened in the last couple games?
No, I kind of pretty much been riding with it. But what I feel like is this, is that I feel like I see little, if not the improvements that we all want to see on a broad basis, but I see enough improvement and I see too much toughness in this man.
Okay.
You know, like even today. Today wasn't a great game, but you know, and there were some things to dislike, but there were a lot of things to like as well.
Yeah, no interceptions is the number one standout for me.
100%. No turnovers, no interceptions. No fumbles by him.
Yeah, no fumbles. Those are games you could live with. Like 200 yards, a rushing touchdown. Like, yeah, that's what's up. I like it. I like it
and
a lot.
And that fourth down and 13 play, I know it was just one play, but I thought that was masterful. That's what we're all looking for out of our quarterback that's going to be the quarterback of the future.
Wait, but the funny thing about that, Will, is, you know, Justin Fields is probably one for 30 in those situations. Like when the flag goes up, it's like, you know, no completions, no touchdown, no pass interference, nothing like that. It's like some botch play. And we're always looking at the TV like, damn, why can't we ever get one of those? And then we finally get one. But it was a great read. You know, they talked to Justin after the game about it, about that play in particular. And he said once they were trying to get him offsides. And once they got him offsides, like there was no real play. It was just like kind of get out there. And he saw DJ Moore beating his man. It was a dime. He threw a dime to DJ Moore right there. And it was great. But thanks for the call. Well, I appreciate it. And there's one thing, you know, that you said that really stood out to me. And this is one thing that I don't think anyone else has talked about when it comes to Justin Fields, Will, and Desplaines, and that is his character. No one's talking about that. You know, like as to why you should keep him. Everybody's like, oh, it's Getsy. Oh, it's the offensive line. Oh, he needs more weapons, more Marvin Harrison Juniors. But no one has said like, hey, you know what? It's his character. He's a winner. He wants to improve. He's going to do whatever he can to make sure that, you know, he's going to improve. He's going to fix the mistakes and not let them happen again. Like that's something like, because the first part of Will's statement was it's the accuracy, the quick release, the better decisions, things that we can all agree on. But when you throw out somebody's character and you're like, yeah, but you know what, though? Because that's something you can't, you know, can't put your finger on, right? Like you see Patrick Mahomes after the game yelling at the sideline judge, like, offensive offsides, come on. That's the worst call. And then to go say it to Josh Allen when you're shaking hands with him, wow, that's petty. They're a Super Bowl champion, Papa. You won so many games. But I'm more so pointing out it's the character, right? The fact that you're someone that wants to win those games. And I do think Justin Fields has a really, really strong character. And that's something, if I'm trying to find a way that you're going to sway me back to Justin Fields can be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, because that's always my biggest gripe. And damn, character might be it.
There's been a noticeable difference ever since those coaching comments came out. The sense of leadership has kind of gone up a notch with Fields.
Yeah, I do want to, I mean, I wish there was a level of ownership. I remember David Montgomery, I think it was the year that they were tearing it down. So 2 years ago, not last year, but the year before that.
Before Poles and Eberflus came in.
No, Eberflus was there. Yeah, it was Eberflus' first year.
So last year. Because this is Eberflus and Poles' second year.
Okay, then 2 years ago then. The Nagy's last year. Yeah,
you're right. Yeah.
Nagy's last year.
Fields' rookie year. Yeah.
David Montgomery came out and basically was like, put it on my shoulders. I'm going to be the leader of this team. Even though he was a younger guy, I'm going to be the leader of this team. And I remember, like, post games coming out and being like, nah, we're good. Nah, this, nah. Just eating it. I'm the leader. It's on us. We're going to get this. And I feel like Justin's there now. And I get it. There's uncertainty with his future with this team. But I think that's the part that I feel like is missing. A little bit of ownership for the team. And it'll come, I'm sure. Because you want to know why? He has good character. Just like Will and Desplaines said. I love that.
If he's not with the Bears, I'm sure he'll be a great character guy for whatever team he may end up being on in the future, even if it is in Chicago.
People love stuff like that. All right, it is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. Tons of great guests all day today on 670 The Score, starting with Mulligan Hall. They got Olin Krutz at 7, DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs at 9. Then Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder join Bernstein and Holmes, and then Parkins and Spiegel round out this Plumbers 911 Football Monday. They got Kurt Warner at 2:40, Mark Grody at 4, and then Jalen Johnson at 5 p.m. Oh, can't wait to hear him talk his talk. Talk that mess, young man. Get that money. Think
Another
about that.
Interception.
Think about that. You're trying to sit there and you get yourself an interception. And people were like, oh, he didn't catch these other ones. That's why, man, those are batted balls and interceptions that he is putting together on the resume. Looking good, man. You got to make sure you're listening to him. 5 p.m. Make sure you check that out right here on 670 The Score. Let's go back out to the phones. Let's go to James from Des Moines. James, so what were a couple things that stood out to you for this game?
All right. First of all, Gabe, I just want to add that comment that you just last stated. I think you pulled that out of what he said about character. And I've been listening to you for a long time, and I see you coming back this way because I used to violently disagree with you, but I see a lot of your points that you're making. But I think the thing that stood off about Fields today, haven't heard anybody say this. His reads, I could see his head turning, like looking at one, looking at two, looking at three, even though he's still holding on to the ball too long. But at least he's going through his progressions.
Right.
You get what I'm trying to say? I literally saw that. Rather than staring down somebody, I literally saw him, you get what I'm saying, going through his progressions. And the other thing that stood out, and I said this when I called you before, I'm big. Analytics, cool. But I've been playing football my whole life. You still got to win up front. And when the Bears started making sense with their defensive line and their offensive line, everything changed. So that was the number one thing that stood out. But the other thing that stood out more than anything was Eberflus didn't change how he's calling these games. They were not blitzing early in the year. I don't know if this new guy that came in and did it, but he wasn't going out like he did last time in Detroit, sitting back there with a pillow on his head, taking it easy.
Yeah. he actually said something that was really cool, James, in the post game Eberflus did, where he said, you know, I told the guys leading into today, he said, I'm going to play a lot of base coverage. I'm going to let you guys do your thing. You guys want to, you know, I'm going to let you guys play football. He's like, I'm going to call base, so be ready for it. And they were all ready for it, he said. He said they were ready to play man. They were ready to get after him. And they were up for the challenge, man. I mean, when you're looking at the passing yards of Jared Goff, didn't have a ton. Sammy Laporta didn't kill him. Amon Ross St. Brown, you know, a Bears killer, didn't go off like he normally does. So Getsy's looking good. What do you think about Getsy as the coach moving forward? You in on that?
I think that, you know, you were hitting on that, but I don't hear people talk about it. You remember that guy they brought in as just like personal administrative assistant on the defense or whatever?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be some type of guy. I don't know if they're trying to groom him to move into that slot for next year and just keeping him in to know everything, but just to bring him in out of the blue, but you don't hear nothing about him. I mean, I know he's there for a reason because I watched the sidelines. I saw him walk up to him. You get what I'm saying? During the game, you kind of showed him on the sidelines walking up to Eberflus. And if you know anything about football, you got to be somebody real important during the middle of the game to walk up to a coach calling plays.
Yeah, that's real.
That's the quickest way to go to the house, walking up to a coach calling plays. So he must have been pretty important to walk up to him. So I'm thinking maybe they're trying to groom somebody. That's my thought about that. But lastly, back to the point about what you said about Fields, I tell my sons, I tell my family, I told the young man, it's a rarity that you get back-to-back number one draft picks. It's just a rarity that ever happens. I don't know what the Bears going to do. I know Fields in the long term is going to be successful, but football as a whole, to me, is in a transition. It's mediocre as far as quarterback play. You got a couple good ones, but everybody else straddling the fence. You might have four good ones. But everybody else is learning the game, straddling the fence. The game is in the transition, but, you know, I believe in time it's going to be all right. If the Bears wanted to, because of how the competition is, they could back down, trade that pick, and stockpile because you know and I know, Gabe, because you watch a lot of football. You don't act, you know, you let the callers do a lot of talking, but you in tune, and I know you are. I watch college football, too. Caleb Williams can throw the football.
Yeah.
I don't care what nobody got to say. I watched him. I watched him for 2 years. There's something about how that boy throw that ball now. You can act like you can turn a blind eye if you want to.
Sounds like you want Caleb Williams instead of Justin Fields.
I don't know now.
Because it sounded like you started this whole conversation, James. Sounded like you started this whole conversation talking about, I've been trying to tell you about Justin Fields. I've been trying to tell you about Justin Fields. And at the end, you're like, but that boy Caleb is good. Like, come, you're sending me mixed signals. You're sending me mixed signals, James. I like it, though. That's why, hey, you know what? I love the conversations because, you know what, James? You're feeling like everybody else. You're just a little torn. You just, where there is uncertainty out there. And like you said, because there is a lot of mediocre quarterback play and it is, you know, hard. And Eberflus, you know, is having the defense playing like crazy. Justin Reeves have been looking better. You just don't know what to do. But I think, James, I think you said it best earlier, which is that, and it's something that I've said quite a few times. Because there is uncertainty surrounding Justin Fields, right? Even if you do wholeheartedly believe in his skill set and what he can become, 100% of the people, or even 90% for that matter, aren't on board with that same sentiment. It is literally split down the middle. Half the people are like, yeah, I'm ready to move on. And half the people are like, how dare you consider moving on? And all I'm saying is, me, if that is what's going on at your quarterback position, where the entire fan base isn't on the same page regarding the quarterback because clearly he is not good enough, and that's why people don't feel that way, then you cannot have two number one picks in a row and not address your quarterback position. It just doesn't even make sense. Like, even if you do agree with Justin, even if you think Justin Fields is the guy, right? You have to then look at the organization and just be like, listen, I rock with Justin Fields, but that does make sense. There is uncertainty surrounding the quarterback position. And if I don't address it with two number one picks in a row, oh my gosh, that's just, you're doing yourself, you're just making a mistake. And I asked this before I go to break. I asked this. So you know what no one said? Where polls, Warren and Flus, where they ranked each of the quarterbacks that came out this year. Did they have C.J. Stroud at number one? You know, they like Justin Fields better than them because they knew they were going to have capital in the next draft. But even just for poops and giggles, can't curse on the show, like, did you have C.J. Stroud number one? Because if you did, and he's performing well, you're thinking to yourself, damn, I wish I had C.J. Stroud. And then you think to yourself, I have an opportunity again to have that number one pick. Do I want to make the same mistake twice if I really like another quarterback that I know is going to be really good? It's tough. 312-644-6767. I'm taking your phone calls all night. I'm here till 5 a.m., so I'm taking every single one of them. And like my man James said, yeah, I like to let people talk a little bit. You want to know why? Because I've been there. I like to talk about my Bears, so I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. I'm taking your phone calls next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Yeah, I mean, he's Coach Flus is a great coach, bro. He keeps us motivated. I never seen a head coach run a team and call defensive plays, so that's new for me. But a lot of respect for him as a coach.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
That was Montez Sweat talking about Coach Eberflus right there. He said he's never seen a coach be the head coach and call defense. Ron Rivera didn't call the defense ever in Washington? That's wild. All
Jack right. Del Rio.
Yeah, I mean, now, last couple of years, that's interesting. All right.
He's been with them ever since he got hired in 2020.
Bears defeat the Detroit Lions 28-13. Justin Fields has himself a game, 19 for 33, over 200 yards, got himself a rushing touchdown, put up points when the Bears needed it, protected the ball, no fumbles, no interceptions, hasn't thrown one in quite a while. So it's interesting, man. It's got, you know, this game, all it does is make things murkier. Like Bears with the potential to win their last five games, that sounds wild. And it's almost even more frustrating to think that, you know, let's say the Bears do finish off 9-8, which would be such a Bears thing to do.
What would you do if they finished 9-8?
Yeah, I mean, nothing. It'd be exactly like I said. It'd be a very Bears thing to do, which is be, you know, a game out of the playoffs.
Oh, you know, that would break my heart.
And then you have to think about, you know, what it is that, you know, you have to go back to every single game that you felt like they should have won, the Denver game, you know, things like that. You start doing that. But that's like the life of a Bears fan. You just fall short. Nothing ever goes your direction. That's why you think like, oh, Justin Fields, you know, just go ahead. Why do we have a carousel of quarterbacks in there? Because that's what we do. It's the Bears. Can't get it right.
I had another offensive question for you, Gabe, because mm-hmm. I feel like we could both make a collaborative agreement. The defense gets an easy A for a performance base against the Lions yesterday. What grade do you give the offense? Because I know they scored 28, but there were some times where it seemed like they had their usual hiccups middle of the game. And then they obviously pulled it together and won in the end.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, the offense. I mean, obviously they were the beneficiary of some really good field position. Eberflus pointed that out as well. Capitalized on some turnovers, which is good. You know, the first touchdown was on a trick play. You know, Justin Fields scrambling for the other tutty. DJ Moore, his receiving touchdown was on a botched, you know, 4th-and-12 offsides. So taking all that consideration, I'd say a B-. Yeah, B-. I think it's good. It's a good grade. But it's a minus because, yeah, I say a B-, and I'm holding strong to that. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Scott. Scott, who are you comparing Justin Fields to?
All right, so here's the ultimate comparison for you. Drew Brees, in his years 2 and 3, had way more interceptions than Fields. His passer rating was less than Justin Fields. And, you know, you brought up kind of pass hurt with Trubisky. I think they had to deal with that too because they had Ryan Leaf that they drafted at that point, and so they had to get over that and then bring in this other guy, and then they let him go, and he goes to New Orleans and then wins the Super Bowl. I see enough in Fields. I don't know if he's going to be Hall of Fame, but I see enough in Fields that I feel like if you let him go, he's going to find his Sean Payton, and we're going to regret this.
All right, but when you're talking about Drew Brees, though, Scott, I mean, you're talking about, you know, one of the best quarterbacks ever.
And
so you're telling me that that's the trajectory that Justin Fields is on?
Well, I mean, just look at the first 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying, is that your opinion that you're laying claim to, is that Justin Fields is on the trajectory of Drew Brees?
The way that it's matching up, it could be that way. But we don't know. I just think that that's some hope to hang on to, but the fact that there's a lot of criticism around this, and why would we get rid of a guy who, like, it's the devil you know. I would rather have the devil you know in Fields and get the right guy in the offensive scheme and then let him, what I think will flourish, and go from there.
Yeah, the Drew Brees comp aside, I hear what you're saying in terms of, you know, adding more weapons and seeing what you have, and you have him, so build around him, or, you know, let him be that for you. So you're thinking Justin Fields capable of winning the Bears a Super Bowl?
Absolutely. And it takes like getting the right people around him. If it's Marvin Harrison Jr., do it. If it's getting a legit center, whether it be by draft or whether it be by...
Give me three things. Give me, Scott, three things that if Justin Fields had it, then the Bears would be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I think get him a center, get him a left tackle, and get him an offensive head coach that knows how to scheme for him.
Okay, so Mike McDaniels, a center, and a left tackle, and the Bears are winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, 100%, I think so.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, I'm here for it. I was having this conversation earlier, like what Mike McDaniels would do, you know, for a guy like Justin Fields, right? So you're saying a better offensive line and an offensive-minded coach, and Justin Fields is there. Because, you haven't given him more weapons, excuse me, and you're banking on Justin Fields, you know, really inherently being the man, and just some different coaching is going to make him, in scheming, is going to make it all the more difference.
Yeah, I think because you gave him DJ Moore. He's already having a better passing season with DJ Moore.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, so I think whether it be Marvin Harrison Jr., I think the offensive line needs to be better, but just get more around him, and I think he flourishes.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Scott. I mean, it's a great point about, you know, having had DJ Moore this year has made him a more prolific passer, right? Some would argue that was a result of, you know, yards after catch with some screens or some, you know, easy passes, but none that like his 200-yard game that DJ Moore had, the majority of those were after the catch, but you still got to give him the ball. And he it is a fact that his numbers are higher. So maybe, you know, some more time to throw the ball, get him some higher numbers.
Zero drops since week 4.
That's really impressive. I will say that there was a couple catches made, you know, by Cole Kmet, a DJ Moore, that were just really impressive. And so Bears most certainly were the beneficiary of some really well skilled catches by the Bears wide receivers. So again, Bears defeat the Detroit Lions 28-13. Speaking of the receivers, DJ Moore had 6 for 68 with a touchdown on 10 targets. Cole Kmet, 5 for 66 on 7 targets. Darnell Mooney, 2 catches, 44 yards on 7 targets. 2 catches on 7 targets. Mm. And that was it. There was a Velus Jones sighting and a Tyler Scott sighting. Even Mercedes Lewis got in there with a nice little catch. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm. If you get a new coach and a new scheme, then you can use the excuse that Justin Fields is now learning a whole nother offense, which is what I know a lot of people will say. And, you know, keeping him in the city, that's why for me, I don't mind keeping Justin Fields, right? Drafting quarterback early and then getting a new offensive coordinator who runs a similar scheme. Maybe the verbiage is the same, but he's calling the plays and he adds a couple wrinkles in there that I guess favor Justin Fields, or just who cares? Just a better offensive mind than Luke Getsy. No shade to Luke Getsy. Did your thing, bro. I just want somebody better. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Javon on the road. Javon, I want you to talk to me about Justin Fields, man. What are your thoughts about the QB?
Listen, I've been noticing a theme in your question and these callers all night. One is, can Justin Fields get to a point where he can win the Super Bowl? I would answer that by saying he ain't much different than Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts got his team to the Super Bowl. Or help. He was part of that getting to the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts, decent. Team around him, much superior than what we have. But with Justin, I don't just shine a spotlight on Justin. You have to look at Eberflus and Getsy. What did any of them do in the offseason that you can point at and say, oh, they're better at this or that this year? It looked like they wasted an offseason, all three of them. All three of them wasted an offseason. Eberflus, to his credit, had, and maybe by he got forced into being the defensive coordinator, he looks like he's grown as a coach this year. But my problem is, what did y'all do in the offseason? Justin, we knew what his weaknesses were last year. He doesn't anticipate throws. He's not that good at reading defense, not where he should be, in my opinion. And he holds the ball a little bit too long. Did you work on any of that? Did your coaching staff help you? Yes, he calls plays. He's not an offensive coordinator. That stuff can be worked on if you look in the mirror and say, what do I need to get better at? And I have the whole offseason to get better at my weakness. I remember an interview with Kobe Bryant after Kobe retired. He did an interview, and the guy was asking him about, man, that guy, he needs to start shooting more and better at mid-range. And Kobe looked at him, he said, you don't get better at mid-range J's during the season. He said, you got to put that work in the offseason. He said, when you come into the season, you are who you are until the next offseason. What work did they do in the offseason? Any of them. The way they came out against Green Bay that first week, tell me everything I needed to know about who these cats is. But with all that being said, their first time, Eberflus head coach, first time, Getsy. Justin's been here a little bit. I think we can win with these cats, Getsy, Eberflus, and Justin. But they have to continue to build this team. But, dog, every offseason, you have to dissect your weaknesses. And at least if it's not a strength coming into next year, it has to be on par with the rest of the league. You see what I'm saying?
I hear you. Javon, let me ask you a couple questions because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I'll try to address everything at the end, but I think there's something that, you know, we should talk about before mm-hmm. I do that. So you were talking about, you know, Jalen Hurts and his team being superior, right? Like the team yeah. being better around him, right? And that's right. when you're trying to compare. But would you say that, and you called Jalen Hurts decent, Chicago decent, now, decent can mean a lot of things in Chicago. So I'm curious, do you think Jalen Hurts is better, or do you think Justin Fields is better than Jalen Hurts?
If I was being honest, I think Justin has the potential to be better than Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is in a better situation than Justin has been since he's been in the league. But you remember, before the Super Bowl year for Philly and their fans was calling to get rid of Justin.
Yeah. Remember that? But they saw growth and they stuck with him.
And what else? They got AJ yeah. Brown.
Yeah, but we're talking about hold on. We're talking about growth okay. though and why they kept him, right? And then they added pieces, but they kept him because they're like, "Oh, this guy is good." Right? And so right. so with Fields, you're saying, and I really love this argument, by the way, Javon, which is that mm-hmm. because it's hard to argue against, and it's that you think Justin Fields can be better than Jalen Hurts, which I think, like, I have no counter argument for that. I'm not going to be like, that's crazy, that's ridiculous, because it can be true. It can be true. Justin Fields can. There is a possibility that he comes out better than Jalen Hurts because he's bigger, got a stronger arm, can run better than him, right? It's the other things, right, that make you a quarterback that Fields got to work on in order to get there. And that's just the biggest problem I have, Javon, is like,
I'm with you.
I got to wait. Like, I got to bank on this, right? Like, that's what I'm really doing. I'm banking on it.
Well, this is the thing, and that's why I told the streamer, I'm perplexed because, your weaknesses from last year are the same weaknesses
mm-hmm.
this year. Well, how can that be if you're a professional? I don't care. Let's say.
Oh, you said it. You just said the Kobe Bryant thing. Like, you have to right. work on some things when, like, in the offseason when no one's watching.
And even by yourself, let's say your coaching staff that you've been dealt with, I don't know how to develop, because that's been the issue in Chicago for all these years. We don't play or develop, right? But you're a professional. You make money. Why can't you call up a Steve Young or Peyton Manning or Tom Brady and say, hey, man, I give you a couple of dollars. Can you show me how to break down defenses? Can you show me how to pre-snap read? Who has the best footwork of any quarterback? I mean, Peyton Manning was meticulous about his footwork. Can, hey man, Peyton, can you remember what LeBron did? He went down to Elijah, work on his paint game. You know, what's wrong with Justin saying, okay, my coaching ain't doing it for me, but there's been plenty of Hall of Famers that have done my position at high levels. How come you can't call them guys and say, hey, man, what do you think I need to work on? Help me with this. Help me with that. I'm perplexed by that. If I'm a professional athlete, right, I'm going to worry about my own legacy first and foremost. I'm not going to leave it on the coaching staff to teach me or coach me what I need. No, man, that perplexed me. And I can say the same thing for Gesse. I can say the same thing for Eberflus. Man, y'all got to work on your craft, man.
Yeah, that's what they got to do, man. Thanks for the call, Javon. I really appreciate it, and I love the good conversation about, you know, Justin Fields, because that's what this game has done. Yesterday's game, that's what it's done. It's strengthened the debate as to what to do moving forward with the Chicago Bears, and it's healthier than ever. And I want to remind people, like, for me, you know, I'm a real Bears fan. What you talking about? Like, I'm a real Bears fan. So whoever wears the jersey, I don't care if it's Kari Blasingame. I want him to be an all pro. And so, you know, I support each and every one of these members of the Chicago Bears. I think what's happened is, you know, working for the Score, you know, my boss, Mitch, said it, playing it again. We're in the opinion business. You cannot just be out here like, I think maybe. So I try to just, you know, say what my eyes say. You know, I'm trying to tell you what my eyes see and not be blinded so much by my fandom. And so, you know, can Justin Fields be better than Jalen Hurts? Can he? Maybe. But he's not yet, right? And he's not even as good as him or even close, I would say. Close, sorry, it's objective. But either way. What I can say is, just like Javon, just like you did, he's not yet, right? So all I'm doing is saying what I see in the present, right? And then just like you said, Javon, man, I thought you were supposed to work on that stuff last offseason, and you didn't. And here we are, so I'm struggling. I'm perplexed. And so it's tough. It really is tough when you're looking at Justin Fields and his body of work. And the reason why nobody would care about this if the Bears had the 17th pick in the first round. Like, it wouldn't even be an option. Nobody would care because you wouldn't have the option to move on. Right? And that's really what you're up against if you're Justin Fields and if you think that he's the man. You're up against options. And that's a bad thing. What do they say? A man is only as faithful as his options. Right? He ain't got no options. Guess what? He's going to be faithful.
You're saying exactly what the Giants were going through with Daniel Jones last year. Exact same thing.
They didn't have any options. Had to pay the man. And so that's what the Bears are at right now. They do have options. There is someone sliding in their DM. And it's Caleb Williams. And guess what? He ain't the only one sliding in the DMs.
Drake May.
It's Drake May. Sending booty pics and everything. Talking about, hey, big head. Literally, hey big, that should be a funny video that you put on social media. It's Caleb Williams sliding in the DM, and then it's Justin Fields like, who's hitting you up in the DMs?
Which hotel are we linking up at?
Whoa.
Hey, I'm just saying. No paper trails. I'm going off of what you were saying.
No paper
there, man.
Trails there, baby T. You're going too hard. I like it though. But I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But then the Bears are just like, I didn't do anything. They were just sliding in my DMs. I really didn't do anything, Justin. I really love you. And that's probably what's happening.
It's going to get worse for the next couple weeks to wrap up the season.
That's what we're going to see, man. All right, more Bears calls coming up. It's Gabe Ramirez on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Taking your calls. I'm going to be here till 5 a.m., man. So if you got something to say, trust me, we're going to talk about it. 312-644-6767. Thoughts on the Bears after a game like this? Bears 5-8. You think they're going to make the playoffs? What do you guys say about this draft situation? What do you think about Justin Fields? I really want to know what you think about Justin Fields. All right, last time. 312-644-6767. 67-67. More phone calls on the way. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.